Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded and they were created. And He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people. Praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Let's stop and ask for His blessing together. Our Father in heaven, we do praise You and ask that You would enable us to do that more and more. Lord, enable us to gaze upon Your beauty as we just heard in Psalm 27. Let us seek Your face. Lord, teach us to follow You. Lead us on a level path. Help us to wait upon You as we hear Your word together now. And we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of the most fundamental questions you could ask are, where did this world come from and why is it here? Where did you and I come from and why are we here? What is matter and what is man? Do we have a purpose? Do we have a reason for existence? If you're familiar with the Children's Catechism, you may know question 3. Why did God make you and all things? Why did God make you and all things? Well, Psalm 148 and really all of Scripture answers those crucial questions for us. And the answers have enormous ramifications for who you are and for how you live your lives today, but also for eternity. Why do you and I exist? Why does the world exist? Well, the answer Psalm 148 gives again and again, loud and clear, is that we exist to praise the Lord. We exist because God created us, and He created this world for His worship, for His praise. Or to put it as the Children's Catechism, why did God make you and all things? For His own glory. And what we see in Psalm 148 is that the entire universe was created and made by God to reflect His glory and to praise Him. And that includes you and me. This psalm is a short but deep theological and philosophical statement on the purpose of all existence. And it's a universal call to praise issued to the entire created universe, the heavens and the earth, plants and animals, and all mankind. All of creation exists to praise God. From the most powerful angel to the smallest bird, every snowflake, every tiny water droplet, the smallest plant, the highest mountain is there to praise the Lord. But this call to praise is especially directed to humanity. Humanity from all different walks of life, to kings and to kids, and to you and me, because we are the pinnacle of creation. And as we'll see at the end of this song, God has redeemed sinful people. He has raised up a Savior. He's raised up a horn. And that is the greatest reason for praise. So why does this world exist? Why do you and I exist? The answer that Psalm 148 gives that we need to hear, and that is likely not news to most of you. This is probably review. This is basic. But we need to hear it. And it is that you exist to praise the Creator and the Redeemer. That is what life is all about. It's a God-centered answer. It's a God-centered view of all things. And it's the most awesome, freeing, meaningful, true way of life and view of reality. And we do need to hear this and be reminded of this tonight. Even if we learned this when we were first beginning to talk, we need these basic truths, especially in the world and in the times we're living in. Things are in uproar out there. We are living in trying and tumultuous times. And so we need all the more to return to the basic truths of Scripture, to the basic things that we're taught, that we are here and the world is here to praise the Lord. And that's what we need to hear together tonight, the message from Psalm 148, the defining truth that should be stamped on your whole existence. Every day of life is that you exist to praise the Lord. You exist to worship and to glorify and praise your Creator and Redeemer. You are here along with all of creation for the praise of the Lord. Well, let's think about that more together tonight by digging into this Psalm 148. I want you to notice how it's really divided into three realms that are all called upon to praise the Lord. The heavens, the earth, and then mankind. Praise is called from each. And I want us to start at the first. The first call for praise is given to the heavens. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Let's start there. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Look again at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. The first call to praise given here in Psalm 148 is given to the heights above the earth, the vast expanse of the heavens. And this psalm starts up high and far away, and it's going to slowly work its way down to earth and closest to home. And in each of the first two realms, there are both animate and inanimate creations called to praise the Creator, both living and non-living things called to praise the Lord. And first of all, the angels are called to praise the Lord. Living beings, heavenly beings, are called to praise the Lord. Look again at verse 2. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Angels, praise the Lord. The angels actually do this best. They're unharmed by sin as we are. They exist to praise and serve the Lord, and they do that perfectly and continually. And they are, as they're called here, His hosts. Multitudes of angels, armies of angelic warriors and servants answering this call to praise the Lord. Just try to think about these innumerable hosts of living beings worshiping our God. Think about the fact that when we worship, when we praise the Lord, together as His people, we are not alone. We may feel alone. We may think it's just us in this room. We may feel insignificant. Even if we think of the broader church, we still feel outnumbered in this culture and in this world. But in reality, though unseen and unheard, we join with an innumerable host of angels praising the Lord. Hebrews 12 says this very thing, verse 22 and 23. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering and the assembly of the firstborn in heaven. Angels are praising the Lord. They are called to praise Him. Then inanimate creations in the heavens are also called to praise the Lord. Look at verse 3 and 4. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. I think we think about these more often. The sun, the moon, the stars are called to praise the Lord. The waters above, likely a reference to clouds. These exist and they are called to praise Him. But it raises a question for us, and that is, how do these physical, non-living creations praise God? How do even animals praise God? Animals and plants are going to be called to praise God later in this psalm as well. They have no capacity to think like humans, to speak or to worship or to rationally know their Creator. We've discussed in my family, how does a chipmunk praise the Lord? Well, it's a good question. And the Scripture teaches us that they praise God by their very existence. These objects, these animals, these plants praise God by the fact that He created them, and they're fulfilling the role that He's given them, and they exist to display the glory of God. And that's essentially what's said in verse 5 and 6. Look at those verses. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? For He commanded and they were created. And He established them forever and ever. And He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. God made these things. He spoke, and they came immediately into existence. And He did so so that they might praise Him simply by the fact that they are His handiwork, the result of His divine creative activity. They reveal something of His wisdom and power and sense of beauty and order. The heavens and the entire created universe declares God's glory and praise. They are not the result of a random act of chance, a catastrophic cosmic accident. They're not some pantheistic evolving force. They are an intentional, purposeful, creative work of the exalted living God, brought into existence, kept into existence for the purpose of praising Him and revealing Him. And when was the last time you thought about that? You looked around and you remembered or you realized this is here to praise the Lord. When was the last time you looked up at the heavens and stood in awe of His handiwork? When was the last time you tried to wrap your mind around how He simply spoke and all of this was created for His glory? Or you thought about the fact that at this very moment, there is an innumerable host of angels, living beings, praising the Lord. The heavens are there to praise the Lord. And that's an entire sermon right there. We could camp out right here tonight. We're not. We're going to move on with the rest of the psalm. But that's a basic reality that I think we can lose sight of and that we ought not to. The heavens are called to praise the Lord. But the psalm moves on and moves down to a new realm of the universe and calls for praise second from the earth. Praise the Lord from the earth. And the psalmist covers a lot of territory on earth in verses 7 through 10. He makes the point that the earth and everything in and on the earth exists to praise the Lord. And first of all, on earth, the realm of marine biology is called to praise the Lord. Look at verse 7 again with me. Praise the Lord from the earth. That's a new realm. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. You think about sea creatures and the depths of the ocean and the water on earth praising the Lord. Water covers over 70% of the earth's surface, and much of that is the oceans. Oceanographers estimate that only 5% of the ocean has really been explored. We've hardly plumbed the depths of the very first layer of this realm of the universe. We've hardly even seen much of it. And yet God sees it all, and He created it all to praise Him. From the smallest plankton to the biggest blue whale, the deepest, darkest trench to the Great Barrier Reef, it is there for the praise of the Lord. But then the psalm goes on to the weather. Look at verse 8. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Fire praises the Lord. That's likely a reference to lightning. Stormy wind. We call that a gentle breeze in Wyoming. Stormy wind fulfilling whose word? His word. God sends the weather. It fulfills His word. We talk about bad weather, but all weather comes from the Lord and serves His purposes and praises Him. We're quick to complain about it, but instead we should see it as sent from God for His praise and for His purposes. The psalm goes on. Verse 9, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. It's not hard for us here in Colorado to understand mountains praising the Lord and reflecting His glory. Mountains and hills and the trees and vegetation on them exist to praise the Lord. They've been established for His glory. And then even the animal kingdom on dry land and in the air is also brought in here and called to praise the Lord. Look at verse 10. Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. This language here in verse 10 echoes Genesis 1, day 6 of creation. All these are called to praise the Lord. They're created for His praise. Now, most people would agree that the things listed here, especially in verse 7 through 10, are in fact beautiful and glorious. I read the other night that more people visited Yellowstone and the Grand Teton National Park this last year than ever before. They love seeing these things, these beautiful creations. Many give their lives to protecting and preserving and enjoying these things. But sadly, they often turn it all upside down. They begin to worship the creation rather than the Creator. They deny His existence, even though the beauty and the order and the vastness of the creation testifies to Him and obviously praises Him. Man thinks that he's getting smarter and more sophisticated. He knows better than to believe a childish myth about a Creator. They think they're enlightened, but ironically, they are in the dark. They've exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, according to Romans 1. And they'll go to great lengths to deny God's creation and His purposes, and yet they have no coherent or consistent idea or proof as to how it exists or why it exists. They fail to recognize that they too are creatures called to worship this God. They exist for His praise. And that's where the psalm turns next, to the final realm called upon to praise God, to mankind. Look at verse 11 and 12, the crown of creation. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. The psalmist ends with the crown of creation, humanity. People able to know and worship and love and serve their Creator because they're made in His image. They're made in a way that the physical and plant and animal world is not. They're made with living souls. They're created for communion with their Creator. And notice how these verses address all types of people, all ages, all levels of society, male and female, young and small, common and powerful. And kids, do you notice how you're not left out here? Praising God is not something you wait to do or wait to get serious about until you're older or when you come of age. No, all people, old and young, and you children are included. You are called to praise the Lord. People do not exist for themselves, but for God and for His praise. There's so much talk today about race and class and social status and oppression and division. And there's so little talk of what unites all mankind. Rich and poor, kings and ordinary people. And that is our shared Creator and our shared purpose of praising God. Likewise, there's so much talk about saving the planet, but no talk about the actual purpose of the planet. God's sovereignty over it and His purpose of it being there to praise Him. Well, this section then concludes by stating a reason God is to be praised from the earth in verse 13. Look at that with me again, verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. God alone is exalted. He is above all of His creation. He's above it in glory and majesty and power. And so He deserves to be praised. He is worthy of praise. Well, then finally, the psalm gets even closer to home in this realm of mankind. And third and finally, calls for praise from His people. Praise the Lord. Praise from His people. Look at verse 14. He has raised up a horn for His people. Praise for all His saints. For the people of Israel who are near to Him, praise the Lord. Before we look at why God's people, His redeemed people, should praise Him, notice again that phrase, praise the Lord. It's at the beginning of this psalm in verse 1. It's right in the middle in verse 7. And here it is, the very last line of the whole psalm in verse 14. And guess what? That's the central unifying message of Psalm 148. Don't miss that as you look at this psalm. And you may know the Hebrew of this phrase, hallelujah. Hallel means praise, and Yah refers to Yahweh, the Lord. I am who I am. But what does it mean to praise the Lord? What does this mean? Well, hallel means to boast in, to commend, to shine light on, to exalt, to worship, to glorify, to speak well of. And this word is an imperative. It's a command. I think we often consider the phrase, praise the Lord, to be praised, to be a statement or a declaration of praise, which it is. But it's first and foremost a command, a very simple and direct command, a call to action, a call to worship, a call to respond to our Creator in the way we ought to with worship. And it's not optional. It's a direct command. It's not optional. It doesn't say, you know, if you'd like to, you could praise the Lord. It doesn't say if you're religious, if you're not busy, if you feel like it, you might give praising the Lord a try. If you like to express yourself this way, no. The entire created universe is given an explicit mandate from the one who brought it into existence and keeps it in existence. This is a command. It's why everything in the universe is here. It's why you and I are here. We tend to think of our faith or our praise, our coming to worship as optional, a choice we make, a right we have to exercise, the expression of a religious feeling. But actually, biblically, this is a command. It's a duty. It's what God calls us and asks us and requires us to do. This is a requirement for every single particle, every tree, every rock, every angel, every animal, every human being that He has made. This is why we exist. The exalted majesty of God in verse 13 demands it. And it's His right, His divine right to call His creatures to do that which He created them to do that which pleases Him. Now, God never commands anything that's not of the greatest good for us, that doesn't also bring us joy. And so, while this is a duty, while it is a command, it is a privilege. It's a delight. This is a gift. This is the greatest privilege to be called to praise the Lord. Well, then I want you to notice how God's worshiping people are identified and described here in the last verse, in verse 14. They belong to Him. They are His people, His saints. And that word saints is descriptive and important too. They are set apart to be holy. They belong to Him. They're also described as people near to Him, close to Him, close to the exalted Lord who made everything. They're close to Him. They're in a close covenant, special relationship with Him, formed as His people, brought near to Him for His praise. And this describes us. This describes you tonight, if you belong to Him, if you are in Jesus Christ. Do you see yourself described here in verse 14? Do you think of yourself in this way? His people, His saints, near to the transcendent, awesome, exalted God. And you, of all creatures under heaven, have reason to praise Him because He's brought you near. He's made you His people, you who are far off, who are not His people, who had no relationship with Him, you who are once His enemies in your sins, He has brought near in love. He has brought you near in and by Jesus Christ through faith in Him. And verse 14 points us to Jesus Christ. Listen one more time to verse 14. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His saints. Think about that horn that's mentioned here. Why a horn? We probably wouldn't use that as an image in everyday speech today. But picture the horns of a bull. The horns protect them. They show something of their power and strength and vitality. And this image of a horn is used frequently in Scripture as a symbol of strength, and especially of a strong deliverer. There were many so-called horns in the history of God's people. Think about people like Joseph, Moses, Joshua, the judges that God raised up, David. A horn was often a king or a king-like figure who led them into battle and led them to victory, saved them and delivered them. But all of those great horns were not ultimate. None of them lasted. They were just types and shadows, little horns, we could say. Little horns pointing to the horn. And verse 14 speaks about a horn. One horn, singular. Who is that horn? Who is the ultimate horn? Who is the ultimate deliverer of God's people? Well, I think you know the answer. It's obvious. It is the Messiah. It is King Jesus. And even David, maybe the greatest horn of Israel in the Old Testament, knew that no mere man was that one horn, the ultimate horn. He said in Psalm 18, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation." And friends, the Lord has raised up this one horn, this one ultimate deliverer at just the right time. Psalm 148 is looking forward to Him through type and shadow and picture. We look back to Him and we see what He has done, what He has completed. God has sent the Messiah. And Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, recognized that just before Jesus came, that this would be the horn. He would be the horn. We heard this in our call to worship from Luke 1, 68 and following. Zechariah said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, that we should be saved from our enemies." Why praise the Lord? Well, there are so many reasons. But the greatest reason, the ultimate reason, is He has done this. He has raised up this horn as He promised. And Jesus is that horn. And in the midst of this broken creation, this fallen world where men are rebelling against this basic call to praise the Lord, Jesus is salvation. He has come and He has redeemed a people. He has brought them near to the Lord. He's made this praise possible. And He saves all who believe in Him. He becomes the praise of all His saints. As verse 14 says, the ultimate object of all your praise and the reason for it. He is the Redeemer. And He makes you able and willing to live for Him and praise Him, to fulfill the purpose for which you were made. To glorify and praise God. And so this psalm is not out of reach. This is not just some lofty ideal. You can fulfill this purpose because of this horn. We have most reason to be full of praise because of Jesus. Well, Psalm 148 really builds to a crescendo. It ends with a note of triumph, directing our gaze to this horn. It directs our gaze to God, not just as creator, but as redeemer, who has raised up a horn for His people, who's delivered and redeemed them by that horn. And as we close, I want to ask you, is Jesus your horn? You might not use that term for Him or think of Him that way, but is He your Savior? Is He your deliverer, your strong deliverer, your only hope in life and death? Is He your horn because you've trusted in Him alone and you are trusting in Him tonight? Is He your praise? Is He your focus? Is He your joy? Do you praise the Lord with all creation as Creator and Redeemer? Psalm 148 confronts us tonight with the ultimate purpose of all existence, to exalt and praise the Lord who made this world, who has sent a horn to save you from your sin, to defeat Satan and sin and death. Is your faith in Him? Is He your hope? Are you looking to Him? Do you know why you are here? Do you know why God created you and all things? To praise Him. There's every reason to, because He is the Creator and the Redeemer. There is a God who created and who saves, who is to be praised. He really did raise up Jesus as a horn and as a savior for all who look to him and believe. And tonight he is alive and he is reigning, and he is coming again soon as he's promised. The Lord spoke this world into existence for his praise. And so friends, don't lose sight of this. This is what life is all about. This is why you and the whole world are here. The entire universe came into existence by his command in order to praise him. And that is your awesome privilege and purpose. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the God who made you and who saved you through Jesus, the horn of your salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for creating this world. We thank you that you commanded and all things were created. You gave a decree and it shall not pass away. We thank you for your angels which praise you, for the sun and moon and stars, for the great sea creatures, for fire and hail and snow and wind and mountains and trees and beasts and birds that praise you. We thank you for creating mankind to reflect your glory, to bear your image and to praise you. We thank you most of all that you have sent Jesus Christ. You have raised up a horn. You have raised up a Savior to save us from our sins, to recreate us, to make us able to fulfill the purpose for which you've created us. Lord, we praise you and thank you for Jesus. And we ask that you would enable us more and more to praise you, to delight in you, to long to praise you. We thank you that you are making all things new and that you will return, Lord Jesus, to your praise and glory. And we pray this all in your name. Amen.